I was not displeased with the first one. I think our main thing was we wanted to get a QR code properly placed on there to make it easier to access the site. So it was a design problem largely to be solved. Anybody who's, Steph, you, I know you were like pretty aware of the design things that, might work on it. Did it look pretty good to you?
Yes.
And I appreciate you looking into, you know, getting it screen reader friendly for people with vision impairment. So that's also greatly appreciated. So I was satisfied with the design.
Yeah. I don't know that we need necessarily to have a motion to say that if we're generally expressing approval, I'm assuming by consensus, we can say that looks good to us and we'll be happy to use it. So that too is.
How many do you want us to have printed of each?
What are our options?
What's a good option?
Yeah.
Just depends on how many you think you want to be able to hand out, like how many events you're going to go to, and over time, some of the information
could change.
And you might not necessarily want to have a giant stash of them. I think in the past, you know, a couple hundred at a time, I think probably fairly reasonable. Or if you all know you each want to distribute, you know, 50 or 75, then we can multiply that and know how many to print.
I get my business cards in packs of 500.
I was going to say 500
and
as well.
That's what's the, yeah, so.
Want 500 of each?
Mm-mm. I think probably the business, the cards.
Yeah, 500 business cards, and then in terms of the.
And then maybe you were talking like the couple hundred for the other or less.
I'm listening with the ears, sharp ears to everyone, but I'm seeing Steph, who has sort of dealt with this sort of thing with the Human Rights Commission, saying maybe 250.
Sorry, that's internal mental troubleshooting.
Oh, all right.
But yes, I would guess at least barely so, half as many brochures.
Yeah.
Okay, let's call it 500 and 250 if that makes good sense. And I think we're in agreement. The card is unlikely to change, so that can stay with us for a good long time. That would make good sense. Okay. We want to talk about outreach. This is connected to the question of productive outreach efforts, and I'll just mention a couple of things and see if other board members have thoughts, either of things that they have been doing or project doing in the future. I did, on April 20th, meet with the Mid-Missouri Civil Liberties Association Board of Directors. They have a monthly meeting or something like that. And it was a Zoom meeting mainly to describe what's going on with the board now. It was a very positive meeting with very, very positive feedback. I'll report on one thing. That Don Love, who is one member of that association and does the traffic stop data, was there and was talking about the traffic stop data and has been working on his report. And is eager to get it into circulation.
I think we got it, didn't we?
Yeah, you got a version of it, and he's now going. I think he plans at this point to, he's revised occasionally and things like that, send to the city manager, but he also wants to be going to the media with it, so we may be hearing fairly soon about that report. I felt that the headline, the positive headline, I mean, it's a very complicated thing. Dig into that data. The positive note in the report was that the racial discrepancy on stops has been diminished since last year's count. And so when we were talking about it, that was the first headline that he wanted to do. But he, as usual, says, I've got these concerns and this fine-tuning. So I don't know that we necessarily need to be acting on that unless somebody sees something in it that calls out for action. It's in circulation, and we may be. And then the other thing I'll just say by way of not embarrassing myself, I said I was going to try to reach out to the North Central Neighborhood Association. I was slow doing it, and they're having an election of officers on Saturday, So I figure I'll wait till we have new officers, and then I'm going to contact them, and that might be an occasion to use some of the brochures and hand out some cards. So is there anything else that people about outreach efforts that people are thinking about or have been actively doing? All right. We'll keep our eyes open.
Yes.
All right. Exactly.
I hate to interrupt, but
yes.
Staff has just let me know that there's a problem broadcasting the meeting. They are recording it, so they'll be able to upload the recording tomorrow morning, but it's not being live broadcast tonight. So if you get any correspondence or people ask, we had a problem when we tried to attach the agenda, the document to the agenda and revising the agenda, and apparently the staff who were fixing that in the law department put it for the meeting for tomorrow night instead of tonight.
Oh.
So the agenda is properly posted, the meeting was properly advertised, but in the computer program that runs the live stream, it thought the meeting was tomorrow night.
Ah.
Okay. Well, in that case, when you go home, you won't find your neighbors waiting for you on your porch. No.
Or you might. Asking
right.
some questions.
Right. Because on the audits of 2023 complaints, I think we agreed that because we have a couple of appeals that we'll be listening to tonight, we would not actively start the audits. I got interested in the question of whether, because the, in fact, it was coming out of a discussion that I had with Denise about, you know, going through the long form and everything like that. I thought, is there a way to streamline so that that attached somewhat simpler audit form, something we might try for those first three audits that we are going to be doing, not this meeting, but presumably next meeting.
I like this form better. Oh, what you're?
Yeah.
Yeah. That other one that we had that was like four
pages.
Oh, it was a lot.
But you know,
got real confusing. But this is. Yes. Okay. Yeah. So we had one in the past that was 4 or 5 pages and had a lot of.
It did two what or it was three supposed different to options
do.
Yeah. That we could use.
Yeah. And so
we were using.
This one just feels a little clearer to understand to me.
Well, and one of my thoughts about that is that, and one of the reasons I wanted it actually attached to the agenda, which turned out to cause us all the transmission problems, was a lot of what we do in closed session is very important and utterly invisible to the public. And so if they could at least see what it means to do an audit, I think that might not be a bad thing. And I thought their attempting to make sense of the more complex form and whatnot was not very likely to happen. But here at least we've got a record of what we're trying to do in audits, and we can revise it as we go and make some changes. I tried to be careful after some discussions with Rose to make it clear that this is a draft. Not a permanent document. This is, let's try that for the audits that we're doing for 2023. And end up, when we start doing it, saying, oops, left off this, wish we hadn't had that. And so.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That's, I think, where we are on that. And I think partly because, Jamie, you actually checked when we were setting up what three things we would audit at the next meeting.
Oh, yes.
There was the problem of overlap.
Yes.
But we now have all the information for doing the next three audits up on the Axon page. So we should be ready to go on that, I presume, for our meeting in June. So we'll try using this form when we go through it. And it'll be great practice for all of us to go through it together, I think, so. Okay, any other comments on audits or confusion that needs to be straightened up about the audits? I'm going to be listening for comments on this next one more than I'm going to be talking, I promise. the work session on police policy 447, we heard a lot of public comment on that. I thought sometimes we heard a general drift in some of the comments, but we also found some people who just disagreed with each other about what should be done and whatnot. We've all had a little time to think about it. The result may or may not be recommendations about policy and procedure changes, and I'm just going to leave it right there and see if anybody, if anything stands out for people in that meeting. Not necessarily that we're searching for the exact wording now if we were to make a change, but what sort of things, after listening to the meeting and thinking about it a little bit longer, do people want to communicate about the body-worn camera policy of the CPD? And I'll just back off for a while.
Sure. Oh, no.
I did some reading after as well of that PERF document and a couple of resources on a federal level. Overwhelming guidance as well indicates that recordings should be kept longer. I understand that tagging the videos still requires a bit of a learning curve. We're still losing some stuff that's not automatically saved, but overall, the main thing I saw was just longer retention.
That's exactly what I was going to bring up. That seemed to be the thing that we were able to find consensus on, is a need for longer record retention. And, you know, having heard the challenges that exist, I think we're currently at 30 days for things that are not tagged with the case number. But, you know, we did have the examples of a couple of other cities, different sizes, who can do up to 12 months. And, you know, we heard some numbers in between 30 days and 12 months, but it seemed to me that there was no one, you know, in the room outside of, you know, of course, from the department, that is obvious, who would say that 30 days was enough time for these records. And so I would think that if we were going to make a recommendation, that it would be probably at a minimum on the length of retention.
Let me interject there. Matt, I think you might be our best contact for the practicalities about finance and stuff like that. Have you had any discussions there that we need to be thinking about?
I believe the police department's requesting quotations for those services. So they are in process. We've not had our budget meeting yet to discuss their findings, but that is forthcoming. Those will all happen this month.
I kept thinking about and still continue is when do you turn them on? And I heard both, you know, that it seems like a waste of time to just record when you might not need it. But on the other hand, I also am sensitive to the idea that you can act and speak a certain way up until click. That's the hard thing. Are the rest of you struggling with that as well?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm very sensitive to issues of employee privacy. I know, you know, truckers who have, you know, the monitors in their cabs to let you know if they're speeding or if they're, you know, things that all of us do when we drive. But, you know, I'm also sensitive to being a police officer is not the same as being a, you know, truck driver, you know, position of public trust, so on and so forth. And so, there were definitely some stronger feelings about it at the meeting in terms of, you know, probably erring towards more recording as opposed to less. But, you know, honestly, I think that there probably is a better balance to strike that's probably more recording than what we currently have now, especially with all the conversation that we had about muting and how we need to be more clearly defined on when it is and is okay, or when it is and is not okay to mute. So.
Yeah, and I think Matt also said that the city is working on having a camera that will automatically flip on.
Yeah, and I think that's right. And we were talking, as I recall, Paul, that there it could be set for different trigger points. Like maybe when you get out of your car, it flips on. Or
so the steps we've taken last couple of weeks, we contacted Axon. We now have five T&E products, test and evaluation, this is called the signal sidearm. So we've got five officers out on the road now that on their holsters, if they draw their firearm, the axon goes on automatically. They don't have to set it themselves. So we've got them in the field now that we're testing. I've spoken to Axon several times. They are pricing up some plans for us for different things. Chiefs ask us to look at the cost of replacing our in-car camera systems because we don't have Axon in-car camera. We have another system by another manufacturer. So we're looking at different technology upgrades under one umbrella. It's expensive. Very, very expensive. We're looking at upping our storage as well, our cloud storage. That's the cost. Close to $1 million a year. So it's not cheap.
Paul, when you say up to $1 million a year, that would be for the increased amount of storage.
And all these upgrades we're looking at.
And the upgrades.
All the upgrades we're looking at. This is the Cadillac. For example, it's taking all the decision out from the officer. So let me give some examples of what it will do. Turns lights and sirens on, body camera comes on automatically. If they're going to a certain call, it's ring fence, ring fence. So when the officer gets within that certain ring fence, the body camera's automatically turned on. The officer doesn't have to think about it. Things like that. Detainees put in the back of the car when the back door's open, camera goes on.
Wow.
It's force multipliers, how we see it.
Right.
Technology is doing the job for us. But again, it comes at a price. That comes with a massive amount of storage for us to allow us to keep stuff for 12 months. But also, on the flip side of that, we can use that storage for other things as well, you should see our evidence room. Our evidence room is full of CDs and DVDs that we keep. Some of them we have to keep forever if it's a homicide or if it's a capital rape or something like that, any kind of sexual crimes against kids, we have to keep those forever. Well, now we can transfer that, keep it in the cloud. We're looking at it.
Right.
And definitely, and they're going to start getting us quotes for technology packages that we can use. So we're looking.
And so in a sense, I think what we're reporting to the public on this is that we've heard about a desire for more recording, that is, recording of entire calls and things like that, instead of the snippet, so to speak, that we might otherwise get. And we've heard from the public a lot of comments about longer storage, and we're hearing through Paul that the department is serious about trying to see if this can happen. Realistically, the city has to consider what it can afford, and we'll. I don't know how we can do much more than that at this point. Anything else on the question of the activation? I have a general concern just to think about, and I certainly don't think I would have a policy recommendation here. One of the concerns that was raised about the retention of the records is privacy concerns, and I think that was in the PERF report. It looked to me like, and this is actually a question perhaps posed to Rose and to Paul, it looks to me like there is some protection built in state law about shielding from the Sunshine Law records that could put somebody in danger. It might be that shield helps us if we decide we're going to retain longer and things like that, and that raises some privacy notice. It isn't quite true that, to greatly exaggerate, anybody can have anything that's in there if they just request it, right? I don't feel that we're overstepping, but because that concern was very seriously raised by somebody at the meeting, I just want to acknowledge that we have been thinking about it. And we haven't overlooked that. We still think it's important to do the longer retention.
The PERF document actually listed guidance as well. We can always go back to that on when anyone may not consent to being recorded. It should, the recording should be turned off. We can follow.
And that's going to be a something we're going to have to learn about as we go, because the automatic triggering system is perhaps a little inconsistent with the idea that somebody on the scene can decide not to be recorded. But I think we need to acknowledge again that that was raised in the PERF document and is a concern. So we're not solving this at this point. What the new technology looks like if we get it, we'll have to then start thinking about some of the issues that it raises. But I think the board and the public is very much in favor of that upgraded technology and longer retention. You know, even if it gives some problems to think about. Looking at your expression.
I'm trying to think in my mind that how would you call the police, but then you don't want to be recorded when the police get there. And I was just trying to think about how.
You may not be the one that
called. This may be a bystander, not someone
okay,
who called.
Okay, so yeah, that's what I'm trying to think this through. Like how, in what kind of situation would you could just suddenly be, don't record me. And then you'd be like, okay. How does that then protect the public or the police if somebody at the scene can demand they not be recorded? So I guess, yeah, I'm just trying to figure out how does that work?
And that is concerning. I mean, if you imagine yourself in the position of the officer, somebody says, I mean, the exception that's often talked about is the victim who doesn't want to be interviewed. We are at the very beginning of an investigation. You don't know who's a victim and who's not a victim. So it's sort of a slippery slope. Anybody who says, I don't want to be recorded, you know, there could be some complications with that. But I don't think we want to, like, adjudicate where the edges of those complications are at this point. But I think we want to keep them alive. Keep them alive. Exactly right. Yeah.
It's about halfway down in the 64-page PERF document. There is a recommendations matrix, and with each case, it does go through and outline those approximate situations that may arise.
Right, exactly.
So this has already been discussed before. It's been
discussed. One thing that I would point out, and may have pointed out, is that the PERF document is pretty old. It's about a...
It's from 2014, and then in 2023, they issued some updates to
some
it.
Updates
It's not perfect.
So the new technology may be getting everybody to think about it differently. So right now, I guess maybe what we want to go is say, boy, we're enthusiastic about the possibility of that new technology and the longer retention, and the finer details can come up later. Yes.
I would say that since 2014, data and cloud-based computing has also only gotten cheaper, and in every industry, we have only increased the amount of monitoring that we do.
Absolutely.
Going with that trend.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things we are learning is we are always being recorded, it feels like. We are right now. It's just that nobody can see the result.
Recorded, not live,
I'm always being recorded everywhere I am.
Is there anything else on follow-up? Now, again, my memory is that we set off with three basic things. When turned on, and I think we've addressed that very much. How long retained, I think we've addressed that very much. And who has access, that's a little complicated because of the question of state law and sunshine law and things like that. But I think Paul's answer at the time was, well, immediately, investigating officers have access. The officer, I believe, on the scene also has access to things. We have access. One of the interesting things to think about is how much body camera footage we may have access to when we start looking at a case or the internal affairs. It's going to be a lot to go through, but I assume we'll become more efficient about finding our way through such things, too. So that was just a reminder of the general outline. Is anything else that people want to say about the work session on policy 447?
I think it was hugely productive. I think it was eye-opening to me as a board member, but I think it was hugely productive.
I also want to thank Rose too for helping put it together.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, she is. She's a rock star. That's right.
Her food, they will come.
Yeah.
Good food too.
So next item is Reese's update on pending state legislation.
Yeah. So, you know, as we talked about last year, about this time, there was a crime omnibus. It had a different bill number, of course, that related to a lot of different parts of our criminal code, creating new laws for Valentine's Law and Blair's Law and, you know, other regulations on policing and Department of Public Safety. And last year, the governor vetoed it because it had a provision in it that he disagreed with, which really isn't important to go into what that provision did or didn't do now, because it has not been included in the new form of the legislation that currently exists. And so in the Senate, it is Senate Bill 754, and in the House, it is House Bill 1659. And so both of those have made it quite a way through the process. And the part that we're interested in is it amends the part of the revised statute of Missouri 590 point something or other that affects us, civilian oversight entities, civilian police review boards. And they add in new language, not new to us, but new to the state statute, of course, that solely includes some language that says solely limiting, as in it enumerates the powers that we currently have and then adds solely limited to those powers that are listed in the state statute. Now, of course, there are things that we, I suppose, have promulgated, you know, that we do as a reasonable interpretation of the state statute, such as the audits and, you know, these some of these policy reviews we do, the public meetings, so on and so forth, a lot of these duties that are outside of just reviewing the appeals. However, that state law and the intent of it was to, and this is what I heard from the legislature, the intent of it was to rein in police review boards that they feel are out of control. It wasn't to limit, you know, our ability to do the things that we do. However, the way that it is written almost certainly would. And, you know, at the end of the legislation, outside of the, you know, solely limited to investigating these four specific types of complaints, there's also language and shall not, you know, have any powers, not, you know, specifically, so on and so forth. So, you know, very serious business that we would have to consider if it were to pass and then be signed by the governor. And so where they are currently, I happened to be in Jefferson City when Senate Bill 754 came up in the House, so I testified for informational purposes, you know, talking about, you know, my view of the bill as an individual, and had a good dialogue with David Tyson Smith, our representative who helped found this or lay the foundations that ended up being this board, had some conversations with some members of the majority party and the bill sponsor. But when it came up for executive session, it was not amended. That was not removed from it. And it was passed with very few dissenting votes. David Tyson Smith was one, but there weren't many others. But it's unclear where the path forward for both of those legislation, what it is, because there is a lot of activity going on currently in our state legislature. And so the House Bill 1659, which is, you know, the exact carbon copy of the Senate bill that I testified in front of, that did make it to the Senate, but it was amended very heavily, and then it was laid over, so debate was ended on it. So that means that they'll have to bring it up again, and they'll have to pass it, but because it was amended, it will need to come back to the House, and the House will either need to, you know, recede, accept those changes, or they will have amendments, because, of course, they would. But that has not been passed out of the Senate yet. And then the Senate bill that is currently in the House was referred to another committee, which has to hear it and then vote on it. Well, have a public hearing, then vote on it, executive session, vote on it, then send it to the full floor. Now, if either one of these bills does make it to the full floor, I would expect that it would pass and that the governor would be likely to sign it since the language that he objected to was removed. However, I just can't be positive that that's what's going to happen because of all the consternation that's happening down 63. It seems possible that they will not make it to the deadline that session is supposed to make it to, which is May 17th. This has happened a few years in the past. They have gaveled out early because, you know, everyone does not work as well as we all do.
Yeah.
So it's it's hard for me to say what will happen, but they've both made it pretty far in the process, and so we should be prepared in the event that either bill does pass either chamber and the governor would sign it. I don't believe that either got the votes for an emergency clause, so we would have until August 28th, but if it were to be signed, we wouldn't have much beyond that.
Reese, can you tell us like specifically what the law might limit us in? Because I'm interpreting like reviewing, I guess, kind of broadly. Hopefully, yeah, I mean, that's how I'm reading it. But
so, you know, this was David Tyson Smith's impression, and this was mine as well. But you know, I'm not a lawyer. I don't play one on television either.
Yeah.
Was that we would be strictly limited to the appeals. Because
okay.
I'll read the language to you, and, you know, we can kind of, you know, see how, I don't know if you've seen the language specifically. Because one second here. On page 54, I've gone through this many, many times now. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, while you're looking, I think the alarming thing is solely limited to...
Yes.
And you've got the language there.
Yes. Okay. So skipping ahead, defining what a civilian oversight board is. The board, division, or any entity shall have the power, solely limited, to receiving, investigating, and making findings and recommending disciplinary action upon complaints by members of the public against members of the police department that allege misconduct involving excessive use of force, abuse of authority, discourtesy, or use of offensive language, including but not limited to slurs relating to race, ethnicity, religion, gender, sexual orientation, and disability. The findings and recommendations of the board, division, or other entity, and the basis therefor, shall be submitted to the chief law enforcement official. No finding or recommendation shall be based solely upon an unsworn complaint or statement, nor shall prior unsubstantiated, unfounded, or withdrawn complaints be the basis for any such findings or recommendation. Only the powers specifically granted herein are authorized, and any and all authority granted to future or existing boards, divisions, or entities outside the scope of the powers listed herein are expressly preempted and void as a matter of law. So, you know, that's pretty tight. It's pretty buttoned up. But I think, you know, it's just an interesting position to be in. I did not hear any other boards testify for informational purposes in support or in opposition throughout the bill's lifetime. I haven't heard from any others. I'm not sure if they're generally aware of what the intent or the impact of the bill would be, but I did have a conversation with the chairman of the judiciary's office in the House, and they agreed with me that this would be the effect. So
one of the things pertinent to your question, Xavier, is I did not see anything in that bill about being able to make policy and procedure recommendations. That's a considerable loss. You know, we do all this work and we want to be able to make some recommendations. Now, I'm going to assume, as happened with the, and you can remember the numbers, I can't please, the previous Senate bill.
Yes.
In effect, the city wrote a new version of what the city rules would be that, in fact, did a pretty good job of preserving our ability to have time to review cases. So, it may be that we find ourselves in a position where we are discussing with the city, maybe even recommendations to the city, how do we preserve an ability to make recommendations, for instance, and do some of the other things we want to do to deal with cases that fall outside those four things. I mean, there'll be a lot of work to do, and we will probably want to be able to say what we are particularly worried about losing and start dealing with the city staff and see whether there's any way to restore it, perhaps by a companion board. I have no idea how you work around this. It's going to be heavily lawyered, I think.
But it's pretty well in the process. But, you know, as I've said, there are a lot of wild cards that involve personalities that aren't things that you can necessarily control for.
Right.
So.
And the session ends when?
The session constitutionally is supposed to end on the 17th. It could very well end before that, but we'll just have to wait and see. Currently, the Senate still has to pass the state budget, and they are constitutionally required to do that by Friday, and they have not yet debated it. So, we'll see.
I think they came pretty close last year, too.
They did. They came up on the line. But once, not my circus, not my monkeys. So.
Any other questions or comments on that somewhat unnerving report? But
a little bit.
What I'm telling myself in order to sleep better at night is nothing has happened yet. We'll be prepared. And I do think that we'll be in a pretty strong position to say to the city, as they try to figure out how to write this into their regulations, what we hope can be preserved of the functions of this board, what our concerns are. But obviously, let's not either lose sleep or many hours figuring that out until we see what the fate of the legislation is.
Yeah.
All right. Does anybody Rose has listed as the next thing in new business, items for the June 12, 2024 meeting agenda? Some will perhaps automatically appear. I'm trying to think whether we're carrying anything forward that will necessarily appear. Is there anything that people want to be sure does appear on the?
We'll certainly have
just
an update
the next
on
set of audits that we get those three.
Yep. Yeah, definitely we want to get those three audits down.
We'll know what the legislation is.
Right.
Definitely a legislative update.
Yeah.
Does the CPRB participate in any Juneteenth activities?
I think where we left that was that we probably would not be this year doing the Juneteenth activities. I mean, if it seems that we're never closing off the possibility if it seems. I think that's where we left it. And I think part of our notion was that with our limited resources of time and whatnot, focusing on those occasions where, to put it as my father would, where the fish are running, that is where we're likely to be talking to somebody who really is interested and needs to be informed. So going out and talking to neighborhood groups, talking to civic groups, what might be a stronger move, and certainly aligning with the Human Rights Commission. So, anything else about items for the next meeting?
What I have is under old business, audit of 2023 complaints, status update with three audits, proposed changes to code section 2152, age status update, productive outreach efforts. Do you want to keep on the work session on police policy 447? Are you done with that one?
Anybody have a strong feeling about that? I mean, I feel like the question of what the city is going to do about the updated technology and the updated retention is so salient in our discussion that I don't know that there's something else to be discussed unless somebody else sees something that needs to be.
It was my impression that we would be waiting to hear back a lot more information before we picked this back up to like issue. Okay, good.
With the estimate and so on.
Yeah.
And,
and then update on pending state legislation. Under new business, I just have the items for next month's agenda. Reports, Human Rights Commission, and Positive Connections Training, Outreach, and Ride-Alongs.
I can think of nothing else. I think we're good then. That sounds.
Is there another policy we need to start kind of figuring out and planning to do a work session on? Should that be on new business for next time? Not for tonight, but I mean.
Without getting ahead of ourselves, partly because we can't get ahead of ourselves in a public meeting, we're about to go in and discuss a couple of appeals that might raise questions about something we'll want to put on the agenda. And at that point, we might want to put it on the agenda. And we can, as I understand talking to Rose, do it at that point, so we don't have to decide right now whether
we could just
we
be like new work session. Could leave it really general.
We could, yeah, business. Yeah, we could. In effect, put something about what will be our next work session. Could be a sub on the agenda. Yeah, that's probably a good idea, and that doesn't commit us to rushing into one unless we see that there's one.
Start thinking about.
Right, right, exactly. I think that's a great idea, actually. Thank you. Human Rights Commission report, Seth.
We're revising our complaint form to make it more accessible. And attending the Douglas Park Juneteenth event with a tabling event and Icy Pops to really draw in the crowds. And just reviewing funding proposals.
That's about it.
That's why I had asked about Juneteenth. So.
All right. Positive connections, training and ride-alongs, anything people want to report here?
Yeah, I did my ride-along.
Yeah.
It was very informative. No police chases, so I didn't nothing like that. Yeah. But it was eye-opening. The officer that I rode along with was very good at what he did. So I appreciated him. I had a good conversation with him. Got to get a feel for what they do.
Yeah.
I would recommend it for anybody that wants to know what goes on. Yeah, absolutely.
What time of day did you do?
From 8 to midnight.
Oh, that's a good time. That's a good time. Yeah.
On a Friday night.
Oh, my. Wait. Yes. Excellent. Excellent. Yeah.
Been running
we were time. Busy.
Yeah, you know, I bet you were.
We were going to a call, and then we would go, we got to go someplace else now. Yeah. And we were going back to that call, and no, we got to go do this other thing. So it was constant, and it was good to see this officer interacting with people. It was really good. I appreciated it wholeheartedly.
What was the date? You can also email it to me.
I will do that.
Okay.
Sorry. It was a Friday. It was not last Friday. Maybe the Friday before. But I'll get that to you, Rose. Sure.
Other positive connections, training, ride along. I have one thing just to report. I saw an article in the Missourian just before coming here about the DIVERT program, which it's possible that Paul can tell us more about this, but it includes having a homeless outreach team, which I believe two officers are presently assigned to, and it may beef up to four, and close connections with the community support docket in the court system, which is very useful to the indigent or the homeless or some other people who frequently have difficulties. And there was also some talk about the city's continuing attempt to get a co-responder program going, which, as I understand it, is authorized and I think even allocated, but we're not yet able to arrange the contracts on it. It was a positive report about many things that the department is doing. And that's all I know about the DIVERT program, Paul. Is that
the DIVERT program is that we have a great problem in Columbia. There is so many resources. I don't think any one person knows all those resources.
Mm-hmm.
So the Columbia-Boone County Health Department has one person that's acting as the central hub for all those resources. So our IT department developed an app for the officers that have on their computer in the car. So when the officers come across an issue that they believe can be solved by resources, they'll get on their app in their computer. They'll put the name of the person, their address, and they can, it's like a tree that opens up for them. They can put all the resources they believe that person or that family or that incident they think they will need. Little narrative, they'll choose all the resources or the issues that they think are happening there, and they'll just click submit. And then that creates an automated email that sends to the person at the Boone County Health Department. That person gets that, and then they can decide, okay, this person needs these resources, and then they'll become a case manager for that person. And then filter them to the resources that they need. That's the DeVet program. So it police officers see people, usually we come across them when a family or a person or an individual is in crisis. That's just part, that's the nature of our job.
Right.
So we'll it's just another person at the time where an officer can become a conduit for someone in crisis, and then we can get them a conduit to the resources they need.
What was the catalyst for creating this? Where did this start? How did this start?
So we've tried many times how we have so many little flyers that we carry around with us for every kind of call we go to. So our pockets are like this. Trying to hand out which flyer are we handing out this time. Columbia is this unique situation. We have so many people that want to give resources. The officers just don't know. It's impossible to keep up. They'd have a Rolodex of who do I need to. This just makes it easier for them. So she sat down and we brainstormed it, and then she sat down with Stephanie Browning at the health department, and then they came up with this idea. Brainchild of the chief, Steve Hollis at the health department, and Stephanie Brown, and then came in. Chief wasn't part of the. We're close now. Rose is going a lot more about the contract than I do for the dual responders, the co-responders. We're pretty close to that now, and we'll be amalgamating with the fire department, Rose? The same, pretty much. I'm excited for that to happen. That's going to be phenomenal when that gets going. They'll be dispatching, hopefully, co-responders to go. On their own, not just with police or fire, but they'll be, instead of dispatching, they'll be dispatching co-responders to go to scenes as well. And that's going to be phenomenal. That's going to be a really good program when that gets going.
Right. Yeah, I will just add, because of having witnessed it last week, an incident, there are people who just fire up if a police officer shows up on the scene. And having the ability to send somebody to talk to that person, independent of the police officer, could be a tremendous advantage. And sometimes in tandem, depending obviously on what's going on. But this could be a really wonderful, really wonderful thing. So that's good news. We need to focus on. And in fact, we've got a couple of good news items. That is, the pursuit of the improved camera technology and retention is good news, and the DIVERT program is good news. And okay. General comments by public members and staff.
Anybody having issues with the dashboard?
Not with the dashboard.
No.
So, but Axon, I've two or three people have emailed me that having issues with Axon, getting onto the, would you like me to look into a different alternative for sharing files with you guys for appeals and audits?
It would be useful. This came up earlier, the question of like trying to access things. How did I do that last time? Because it does not speak for itself.
Okay.
And particularly getting to a particular case can be problematic, and seeing what's there.
If there's such a program that, like on Axon, there's little boxes next to the file, but you can't just say, okay, I've looked at this file, I can check it. Those boxes, I guess, are pretty useless. But yeah, okay. That way we know what we've actually already looked at. Yeah. And then...
I think that's just a poor reflection on Axon that
right.
We can't group
there
it.
There may be a possible way to
sort it ourselves.
Right. I don't. That Julie looks after that, and that decision was made prior to me coming into public. So we have to balance it, because it has to be CJIS compliant because of the information we're putting in there. But I'm setting up a meeting with IT to look up something that's going to be similar to the Google site we're using for the dashboard.
Oh.
So let me do some digging and see if I can make it easier for you guys.
It would be a real blessing for us. I mean, we're you know, obviously volunteers have a limited amount of time. It's a pity if we're losing 10% of our time to searching and not being able to find things.
So. Let me see if I can make it easier.
I will say, like, to your point where you can't do the checkboxes, I hold down my control button and then click on every one so it'll open a new tab, and that way I can at least go through each tab and then delete it when I'm done with that one, just to make sure I get it all. But I struggled this week, and I don't know why, probably because we haven't done it for so long, but I was going to these case numbers to find them in Axon, and they're different case numbers in Axon, and I got so confused, and I apologize for being ignorant on it, but that's a little confusing too, because these aren't the real case numbers.
Because our case, our internal numbers are different.
Because they are.
So it's like, what am I really looking for? There is no 0003, and so that got me for a few minutes, but I finally got myself together.
One other comment I had was more of a question. I know in the past we have been given, like, you're going to have, like, certain trainings that maybe we could go and watch. Do you have any, like, trainings lined up in the near future?
Can I access the training calendar?
Yes, that would be wonderful.
It'll happen.
Great. Thank wonderful. You. Yeah, that's a wonderful thought. Any other comments from members or staff?
Jess, do you have another recruitment group anytime soon, or are you?
We are. Our recruiting at the moment is phenomenal.
Good.
We have got 18 interviews this month, which is crazy. I think we've got close to 60 applicants in the pool at the moment. We have hired, I think we have, so 11 coming out the academy in 6 weeks. We are hoping to put at least 10 or 11 in the next academy. We are hiring 2 or 3 post-certified officers within the next 2 or 3 weeks. It's going really well at the moment. So I'm trying not to jinx that.
Any other comments? If not, I'm about to do this. I would entertain a motion to go into closed session to discuss records which are protected from disclosure by law, section 610.021, paren 14, and 59502, RISMO. The board will meet in conference room 2A for closed session. Do I hear a motion to go into closed sessions to hear complaints, the analysis of complaints 2024-03 and 2024-04?
Second.
I'll move it. You can second it. How about that? I didn't hear a motion.
Yeah, so.
Got it.
All right. This, I think, does require an individual vote, right? So I'll let Rose call the roll, I think, might be the best way.
Denise? Harry?
Yes.
Stephanie Coleman?
Yes.
Reese Ellis?
Aye.
Doug Hunt?
Yes.
Xavier?
Yes.
Jamie?
Yes.
And then Steph Yoakum?
Yes.
All right, we are adjourned and we're heading for conference room 2A, which is
upstairs.
Yes.
I think where we always
go. Oh, where we always go. All right, good. Got to remember, I'm 74 years old.